I'd like to direct your attention this morning to Acts, the 8th chapter. We will read verse 36, which reads, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" This morning I would like to discuss with you the concept of what hinders me. And this not only be going over things that can hinder you from obeying the gospel, things that can make you fall away, and after you've fallen away, can prevent you from coming back to the Lord. First of these things can be our family. Sometimes our family does not stand with us in the faith, and those of you that have come from denominational backgrounds can understand this completely. Sometimes our family will go as far as to disown us when we turn to the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew, the 10th chapter. We'll read verses 34 and 35. Jesus says here, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Jesus says here that his word, when some believe it, it will cause divisions among families. And going against what your family has taught you from when you were young can be very difficult. Turn with me in Luke, the 14th chapter. We'll read verse 26. Jesus says here, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus uses very strong language here. He says to hate those things. He cannot mean to hate your family. As Ephesians 6:2 says, "Honor thy father and mother." The sense of the word hate is used here in the Greek means to love less than. We are to love Jesus Christ so much more than our family, possessions, and even our own life that it's considered to hate them compared to the love we have for God. Turn with me to Matthew, the 19th chapter. We'll read the 29th verse. Jesus says here, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Jesus is saying here to the people there that if you leave all these things and just leave it all behind, that it will be worth it. For everything that you do, you will have the crown of everlasting life. Next thing that can prevent us from coming to the Lord is the fact of persecution. Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter, and read verses 18 and 20, where they read, "The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you." Drop down to verse 20. "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Jesus is telling his disciples that since they persecuted him, that servant is not greater than his master, they'll do it to you as well. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Read verse 12. It says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." I hear a blatant statement that we will suffer persecution if we desire to live the lives that we should. Turn with me to John, the 12th chapter. We'll read verses 42 and 43. Says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." These people did not confess Jesus as Christ because they feared the religious leaders at the time they would be put out of the synagogue because they desired the praise of men more than that of God. Then turn with me to Acts, the 5th chapter. We'll read verse 41. So they, Peter and John, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You look just at verse 40, that these men were beaten for confessing Christ, and yet they counted that joyful because they knew what reward they had for them for suffering shame for the name of Christ. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And in verse 44, Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Because we are to be kind, even to those who are mistreating us and saying all kinds of wicked things and treating us shamefully. We are to bless them and do good to those. And in Hebrews 3rd chapter, and in verse 6, it says, "But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." Jesus says if we stay faithful all throughout our lives, we will be called part of his own household. And back in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 12, as we alluded to on Wednesday night in the conclusion of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus is saying we are blessed when people revile us and persecute us and say all kinds of wicked things against us, because great is our reward. So we can see why Peter and John were rejoicing that they were beaten, because great is their reward in heaven. And then the next point I'd like to point out says some people do not understand the severity of this condition they are in, lost from God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. In the first chapter, we're reading verses 6 to 9. It says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." It says here that we will be separated from the good presence of the Lord forever and in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey him. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, in verse 12, it says, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And this verse here alludes to the picture of the everlasting hell, which is the punishment for those who do not obey God. And then also in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're reading verses 41 and 46. It says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And drop down to verse 46. "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And this scripture paints a vivid picture of an eternal fire that will never end. The fact that you will be in the presence of the devil and his rebellious angels, a place where no good will ever happen, for the one good thing is God, and in his presence will not be there at all. Only the presence of every wicked and evil thing that has ever come onto the face of this earth. And then, lastly, some think you have plenty of time. Turn with me to James, the 4th chapter. We'll read verse 13 and 14. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit.' whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And sometimes when we wake up early and go outside, there's a light fog on the ground. Then as soon as the sun rises, it's burned off and just vanishes away. So the writer of James likens to our lives. Also in the 144th Psalm, the fourth verse says, man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. In the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, in verses 16 through 21, it says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my good crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will be those things which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We see this rich man thought he had plenty of time just to enjoy all the things he'd built up for himself, and God required his soul of him that very night. And in 2 Peter, the third chapter, and in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is referring to the day of judgment where all time will end. And that could come at any time. When you go to bed every night, there's three things that can happen. One, you wake up the next day and just carry on. Two, you die and tomorrow never comes and you stand at the judgment seat, or Christ will return. Two out of those three things are not good for you if you have not obeyed the good word. And in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 36 to 39, and then verse 42. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Drop down to verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So here it gives an example of the time of Noah, where they people of that time were, says, just carrying on with their lives, and they had no idea what was about to come. And the floodwaters came and washed them all away in an instant. And then turn with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in conclusion. In the first verse it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This passage here is telling us to put aside everything that could ever cause us to stumble or entangle us, then run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Thank you for your time.